2019. Let's start with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Ms. Miller, do we have an ethics talk today?
We do. They always reflect what's going on in my life at the time. This is from Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare. And some that smile have in their hearts, I fear, millions of mischiefs.
All right.
All right.
With that, we'll move on to minutes. Does anybody have any questions, comments about the minutes for the October 7th, 2019 meeting? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second? Motion and second to approve those minutes. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By your action, you have approved the minutes of the October 7th, 2019 meeting. And staff reports. Do we have a report from ECHO?
Just a brief report. We're doing a huge rollout with the Public Works Department on ethics training next week, and we have specialized manuals for them, specialized policies that we're working with on the with the director. So that'll be exciting next week. If any of you want to sit in on one of them, you're welcome. They're next Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday.
I'm sorry.
Well, we'll send the schedule out of when they are.
Monday's a holiday.
And you're welcome to come to any of them. And this Friday, if anybody's interested, 10:30 to 12 o'clock, we have some dignitaries coming from Poland through the State Department who want to know about transparency and what we do with the ethics program here. So that should be interesting. And I would say that probably most of our month has been taken up with work on the JEA process. That's my report.
What is the thing that you guys are preparing?
Preparing?
For Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah, what is it that you're preparing?
we've done a risk analysis in the Public Works Department. There are several hundred people in that department, and they have done an analysis of which of their employees are in positions where there could be ethical problems. Some people, you know, they just aren't in any position where they have contacts with vendors or they make any significant decisions. So we've identified about 120 people that are in risk positions, and we've divided them up into four groups, and we're doing specialized training for all of them with scenarios that actually were developed by people in public work. So it's the first time we've gone into a department, and instead of having generalized ethics training, mm-hmm. we're focusing in on exactly what they need.
And the
manual. We have a specialized manual for them, too.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Any report what you see?
No report. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a complaints committee report?
Sure there is. Thank you for asking. We've been busy. We've met twice recently, and we have dismissed three complaints under Rule 17, two with letters of instruction. We're still following up on one, and we referred one to the IG's office, so one of those has been progressive.
Okay. There are two issued letters of instruction?
We voted earlier today to issue letters of instruction.
Okay, first I think we have an important visitor.
Not very important, but it is a very important person's birthday.
Yay! Yay.
Singing.
Yes. It's a good thing I wore a red suit so it can match my face.
We'll take a picture of the birthday girl.
She already did.
And do we have candles, Andrea?
I do have a candle, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this is an official birthday party. This isn't
until the fire alarms get set off and everyone gets drenched by the sprinklers.
What could go wrong?
I know. I'm a liar.
We need a light.
The match thing went flying when I was driving here and I didn't grab it. So
we might
imaginary candle.
Thank you.
Can
stretch.
Do you want me to
open this for
you? Here, I'll help.
I think Sandy was on it.
Yeah.
No, I was
like
to...
ripping it apart.
Yeah. Oh, what's your favorite?
The pumpkin?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, I knocked them over.
Yeah. These are really good.
That one's mine.
Delicious.
Oh, thank you. Yay!
Just one candle?
I love pumpkin.
Okay. Well, we can do a million okay. if you want.
Oh, no, no, one's good.
One candle.
That's
see,
good.
Kirby wants to go home tonight.
Sorry.
They'll
still be delicious, I guarantee it.
Yes, even if they're knocked over, they're still delicious.
All right, for our excellent deputy ethics director, let's do happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I should have worn my sign.
Happy birthday, dear Kirby.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Aww. Yay.
Thank you very much for making me feel very embarrassed and special at the same time.
I'm just so shy.
All right,
so
take one down, pass it around.
Okay.
Oh,
here we go.
Please and napkins if you want.
Oh my God, that is too much. Aww. Thank you.
Look, we have an official photo.
Oh, that's good. That's a good photo.
Thank you very much for interrupting the meeting for this event. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. Would you like a beverage?
Could you pass the plates around?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought cherry would.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pass them down.
Take one down. Pass them around.
We're not letting you take your
oh, my Lord.
Lime or passion
thank you
fruit.
So much.
Passion fruit. Yes, thank you.
Kirby, you brought your own.
I did, yes. I'd love one. Thank you.
Oh, wow. We
oh
have enough
gosh.
Cupcakes. This is good. Does
what
anyone else have a birthday in November?
Seriously. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Imani.
Really? How did she know?
Because I announced it at the last meeting.
Oh, God.
Inadvertently.
That's so nice.
That was very nice. Because Ella said, why? Do you have some place to be? And I'm like, my birthday dinner.
All right, in the interest of getting Kirby to her birthday dinner on time, we'll carry on. Make her late while we're here eating cupcakes. All right, on JEA, which we have our inspector general here as well. And I just wanted to commend both her and Ms. Miller, who have been involved in JEA discussions after the Inspector General sent a letter requesting that access. And I think that was, I commended it then, but I will commend you in person now that you're here as well. Thank you for what you do. With that, I'd like to ask Ms. Miller, to the extent that she can, to share with us any updates or reflections that she can, consistent with her secrecy.
I have many reflections.
Yeah.
And
what kind of fat?
I'll just wait till you're done.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, very critical.
To answer your question, I have many reflections in the last month. I've been involved in numerous meetings and phone calls in connection with the JEA process. I'm documenting everything that is occurring. I can say we're making progress on the ethics issues. And I wanted to share with you more information because I do have a chronology and I think there's some very interesting ethics overlays. I asked General Counsel if he considered that I had any legal restrictions on my speech on what I could say. About the Ethics Commission, to the Ethics Commission about what I've done on the JEA process. And the answer was, I think that's a problem, and he wants to discuss. I want to know if there's any legal restrictions on my speech. Now, clearly, if there's a negotiation process, let's say we're all negotiating and we're in a confidential proceeding under Florida law, and we're, you know, the Inspector General and I are allowed to sit in on that, then I would come to the commission and say, you know who's negotiating and what the terms were? I mean, but as far as some of the ethics issues or the transparency issues or the sunshine issues, I feel like they would be in a different category and I would be allowed to update the commission on those. So I want to get in writing exactly what the restrictions would be, you know, and then I'll share that with you.
That's a good idea. And it would be a little bit ironic if you were prohibited from disclosing the transparency issues. But I guess we'll get there when we get there.
I'll tell you, any process that has several billion dollars attached to it is going to have a lot of intensity. And I just want to make sure that every step from the ethics office is with 100% integrity, with transparency, and that we're covered legally for any action that we take, because it's too important to not do it that way. So, and I appreciate the Inspector General's office. They've been very supportive. We've been working together. You know, so like I said, there's good progress.
And you could never go through a process this large and this complex without issues. Right? And that's why you have advisors there to help. That's why you have lawyers and other advisors so they can help you through those. And so I don't think it should be viewed as negative if there are ethics concerns, transparency concerns that come up. That's why you're there, I hope.
Right, so. Exactly, yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, before we go on, this is Love. I just want to commend our director and IG for doing this. I think it's really important that we have them in the room as much as possible because of our own public responsibility. And so I appreciate them, and I appreciate this commission's support of them. And I would ask that they carry on.
Anyone else? All right. Legislation from the last meeting.
Just the update on that it has been introduced. Cherry knows the exact date. I think it was Tuesday.
No, it has not been introduced. We just filed it today. So it'll be introduced. It'll be introduced that next week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
On Tuesday?
Yeah, next at the city council meeting. So we just filed it today. The deadline was tomorrow, so with it.
And
I'm sorry, today's the deadline. So we actually filed it yesterday.
Okay. So we're in on the filing deadline, and it's in the hopper. And I did have discussion with the administration. The mayor CAO, Brian Hughes, he is opposed to the legislation. And so we don't have the support of the administration on this legislation.
Okay. So that's filed. I just want to thank Ms. Pollack and also Ms. Oberdorfer, who helped tremendously with getting that done in time. So thank you both. It was painless. The next part of it may not be. So we'll see how it goes. That brings us to new business, and I know that Ms. Green was with us recently, so you've all met her. And thank you for being here again, and I'll let you have the floor.
Thank you. I won't speak too long, but I want to make sure that we have a chance to really walk through this if there's any questions, because this is a really unique case that we went through. And I think what I want to really start off with saying is there's a human element, a human factor about this investigation that I can't put in my report, but I think we need to have a conversation about the human side, how some of these behaviors impacted that organization. I've got a couple of handouts. I'll make reference to them, and then we'll get to them also. There's two. I only have enough for eight, but you'll give me the numbers anyway. And I appreciate it. So I do hope that some of you have had a chance to maybe look at the report. I know that I thank you for printing out the allegation piece and the recommendations. I think it's really important, though, that process improvement is great, but we're missing some key elements, and that's about how we're holding the appointed employees accountable for behavior. We have nothing in our ethics code that addresses conduct unbecoming. It was very discouraging for me to not have anything that I could say in this particular instance where he violated the ethics code related to conduct unbecoming. I don't think anyone in this room can say that his conduct was appropriate for the position that he held, especially over the very vulnerable organization and the population in which he serves. And I hope that at least some of the answers you might have had about previous conduct were answered with the report. So I want to just briefly touch on the allegations as a group, not necessarily specific ones unless you have a comment about it, to start laying the foundation of some of the things I'm asking for support, I'm asking for help to add some language to the ethics code. So I think it's really important. There were several allegations. We tried to group them into groupings. And so the first one was sexual harassment. And we know that the federal government has a very strong definition of what sexual harassment is. And in our investigation, we were not able to prove the actual sexual harassment. But what hasn't really been, you know, if you read the report, I think you'll understand. The activities occurred. We have, someone said the sexual activities occurred. You know, somebody said it was unwanted and the other person said it was wanted. So clearly you have, I can't prove anything. But I want you to take note that even though we cannot prove sexual harassment by definition, we did sustain that the actions occurred dating back to 1997. And records were missing, substantial important records relating to what was supposed to be an investigation back in 1997 was missing, along with her personnel folder. We interviewed about 40 people. I think we pulled, forgive me, this is Jeron Mintz. He's the lead investigator, and I do want everyone to acknowledge the hard work because he was in on every single interview. So I think he did an outstanding job.
Welcome, and thank you for your work.
So in regards to the personnel, did we have about 15 folders we looked at?
Yes.
15, yeah, so when we were told that all the records would be they would be in the possession for 50 years. And so we found it very interesting, the one that was very kind of setting the benchmark, the pattern of behavior, which we saw from long ago, was missing. So that's basically sexual harassment. We couldn't prove it. So let's get into now the standards of conduct. I think what's important about this is where I would have liked to have said that with the behaviors we did establish, we could have said, this is in violation of the ethics code because this is conduct unbecoming. But we don't have that. And that's what I'm going to look for you guys to start maybe thinking about, considering whether that component should be added into the ethics code. I think with regards to one of the ones, I want to make sure it's not overlooked. There was one allegation that the CEO provided a job promotion to the JHA employee with whom he was having a relationship with. Even though it says unsubstantiated, if you don't go read the further back, what you don't get out of that is that he didn't give the promotion. The person was actually selected, and I believe that the testimony we have from the senior VP, I believed her. The person was selected because of the person's qualifications. But what we don't know, or what's not really evident by the first two pages, is that that person went to the CEO and asked for a higher salary increase over the advisement of the VP, and she got it. So that's that little this nuance thing that if you're not reading the detail in the weeds, you're not seeing that. And again, that's clearly a conflict of interest. It's conduct that you would not want any CEO, anybody running your organization, to be doing. If you're in the position, you're having a relationship with rank and file or whomever in the agency, you surely should not be in the chain of command for evaluations, salaries, promotions, probational increases, which he was for the people that were involved in this investigation. So I want you to think about that. With regards to the conflict of interest and the prohibitive gifts, clearly we established that he did violate the gift section of the ethics code. And I think that what we found with regards to the gifts, he was actually requesting employees and vendors to come to his house to do professional services. Here's the thing, the vendors can easily say no, most likely, but what regular employee can go and say no to their CEO? Even though they said they did not feel under pressure, I'm not sure that that's true, and I'm not sure we should have any employee be subject to that. Gee, I just can't say no. Because I'm going to say, I don't think this is going to be the last kind of case that we do regarding these types of relationships. So I'm just starting to get you to think about that. The internal policies were a complete mess. I'm sorry. They were dated back to 1995, 2001. They just weren't updated. And the challenge that we had is the language was very unclear. So I think the intent is there, but with absent clear language about what's prohibited and what's not, I can't say it violated. It has to be what the agency interprets. So a lot of this, we said, look, you need to decide. Is this the intent? Like the lottery, the lottery pool. They weren't doing a lottery on the office. They were a bunch of them for several years going around every single week in the office with an organized lottery manager, proud to be, by the way, until she realized, oops, she said the wrong thing, but that they were collecting money and every week buying the lottery. I just, and it's a, there is a, in their policy, if I, you know, do not gamble or do lottery, well, it's not, is it the intent that you shouldn't be pooling your money and this is for spending government time, city time doing this? So those are the reasons why I just want to make sure that moving forward when you're, we're looking at language that we're as clear as we can be. I realize we can't prohibit every behavior, and I'm not asking that. The improper salary increase, the allegation there was that there was another sexual relationship that might have impacted the CEO getting an improper salary increase. What we really found was we do think it was handled properly in a sunshine manner, but there were no records to back it up. There was one record, only one little email from the entire thing. There was no minutes where you know you wouldn't have your no motions, no this, no discussion of different salaries. So that was what we found. So we were asking them to make sure that after they're continuing in a public venue, but after they start talking about CEO performance, the salary, that is also incorporated into the minutes. That piece had been left out because several people that were responsible for those duties were not to be in the room, so that piece just never got put in. So that was what that was about. And then, of course, the lack of controls. And I think that if anyone did get to the back, they did see that the investigation did substantiate that there was never an investigation into a clear violation where he did have a relationship with the tenant. And during the investigation, we learned from the former CEO that CEO introduced him to the tenant, and that he knew she was a tenant, and that clearly was a violation. But I think what the bigger piece was is there was information out there, I think, years ago that was fully investigated, and it never was investigated. And the prior CEO said, no, I made the decision at the time. The child was too old. I didn't pursue it. So at least that clears the air. So moving forward, what I really want, I just want to bring up, again, we have 14 recommendations. Well, one of them being take your personal action if deemed appropriate. But, we look at all of these are all policy related. But what we're missing is we need something in the code. And I brought up the state of Florida has the administrative code. And they have disciplinary standards. And they talk about things that would be not prohibited. And I think that what we need to start deciding is, as an example, giving some parameters about what we think everybody should be held accountable in the city. And I would say, clearly, F, conduct unbecoming of a public employee. Employees shall conduct themselves on and off the job in a manner that will not bring discredit or embarrassment to the state. And, of course, it would be embarrassment to the city. There's also, other matters in here that talk about, what employees should be effective. They should demonstrate willingness, make good decisions, exercise sound judgment. So I'm looking for you to decide what's appropriate that maybe we need to start considering in light of the Me Too movement. You have this week, the CEO from McDonald's is the same type of misbehavior. So I think it's time that we put something in there holding our staff, the city employees, accountable to some kind of conduct. And the other piece, there is, in the civil service guidelines, I did give you an excerpt, there is language in the civil service, but there's nothing in the appointed pay plans. So basically, there's nothing for the people that are in the highest positions and in power that could use or misuse their positions, as we saw in this particular case. What I can tell you based on the interviews that we did, I think we did approximately 40. Whether it's real or perceived, I can tell you the morale of this organization has been poor for a number of years. Several people even said, if you don't sleep with this gentleman, you don't get to the top. That's not a great place to be working. These, especially with the population, a lot of them came from the vulnerable population. We found that a lot of these employees that we interviewed, single mothers, needed their jobs. And so they're going to do what they need to do to get through. And I would say that the behavior that we saw was basically conflict of interest from a human side, not necessarily a financial side. However, some of the women that were involved in this did get gifts from this individual. coach bags, rings, bracelets. I mean, you know, so what you're seeing then is you're having this environment develop in, you know, it's all going rumors. Everyone's hearing about it. Everyone knew this was going on. They knew that, well, they didn't know for sure, not firsthand, but they, you know, it's just an uncomfortable place to work. I mean, they were under this concept that, again, if you don't have a relationship with this man, you're not going to get ahead. It created appearance, real or perceived, of favoritism. Clearly, when you can go to your boss, if I'm having a relationship with just, you know, Mr. Rogan, say, I need more money, you give it to me. And then everybody around is like, what are you talking about? So I do believe that that environment does contribute to a hostile work environment, and it would create circumstances for retaliation, which, guess who's going to get sued? It's going to get the city sued. So I think we owe it to consider at this time whether we should have some stronger language, and I would ask you to look at the administrative code. I would actually ask you to look at some of the language that's in the civil service that I put out, which talks about some of the reasons you could be removed. I want to be able to, the next report, say, yes, there's a conduct unbecoming. She violated the ethics code. When I do the report, we're talking about inappropriate relationships. Because everything we have now is all about financial. Mm-hmm. This is all human factor. We're not saying that relationships aren't going to happen. We also do not have any fraternization policy in this city at all. And I mean, we need to have something in writing. I get that people are going to have relationships, but when they happen, they have to be, we got to stand up and be adult about it and remove ourselves from any chain of approval for salaries, promotions. That's all I'm saying that we have to be able to do. What's the best way to do it? I don't know. But I'm just asking that we start thinking about putting something into standards of conduct from that human. Also, if you remember the last report that we did, not the very last, but one of the ones we did was the Public Works employee who was overseeing one of the vendors for a number of years, almost another 15 years. He's overseeing the contractor as a program manager. He's also approving all their invoices. He also, years ago, was hunting with them out in different states. He was fishing with them. So you also have a situation similar. It's not a sexual relationship, but it's a relationship. So we're looking to address personal relationships, past or present, when you go to think about if you would, I'm begging you to please do something, because we need it. So if you have any questions, I'm pretty passionate, because I can tell you, we sat in this for a long time, almost, you know, a good 10 months, and there were a lot of tears shed. And there's a few women that I just don't feel got. I couldn't solve the broken heart that they went through. I couldn't solve what they went through. And I don't want the city to have to get sued because we don't take it seriously. Because if this person hadn't come forward, none of this would have come out. And it was very hard for that person and the other people that we spoke to. And I know some lied to us because they were too embarrassed. And I will also tell you, this is an R-rated report. There is more to this, and I did not put it in there because it just didn't add any value. It just would have made it worse. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy. I'm very passionate about it because of the human element that we saw during this particular investigation that I can't write about.
It's interesting. So that because I sit on the Inspector General Selection Retention Committee, I get these right when they come out, so I have the benefit of having advance notice of this report. So I have more time to read it than you did. But do you have a full copy with you?
I do.
Can I see it?
Yeah. It also has the
response.
Oh, the response.
Yeah.
The
response. So the, is that here?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about his response?
Yeah.
That's, I think also in what they have, too.
So no. His response is his actual one-page response.
Okay.
Oh, it wasn't his attorney?
Yes, through his attorney.
So what happens when these go out is the Inspector General's provides notice to the respondent and some other people, and they have an opportunity to respond. And what I noticed when I read this report, because I hadn't had a chance to talk to Ms. Green about it yet, although I planned to, because I could tell that there was something missing, right? Because you've got all this egregious conduct, but then you have what's substantiated and what isn't, and the response that you get from the lawyer is, this is a quote, "We are gratified that this exhaustive investigation fully vindicates the respondent, failing or refusing to substantiate every major allegation of misconduct made against him and declining to recommend any sanctions against him," end quote. And so it's just amazing to me that you could have those kinds of allegations, and then when you actually get to what did he do that violated the law, it's not a lot. Or it's not a lot that would justify to get the sanctions. Now, he's been on paid administrative leave for a while, and I guess I will commend the board for immediately terminating him once this report came out.
We all realize that he actually submitted a resignation 2 hours before the board meeting, saying he was Tuesday, mind you, Wednesday, that he said he wanted to retire on Friday. That's pretty gutsy after everything that we went through with him as far as the whole process and knowing that this was coming and just, you know, I'm not going to retire today. I'm not going to accept any responsibility. I'm going to retire in a few days from now. So.
Yeah. So does anybody have any questions before we sort of move into what is it that we want to talk about? Does anybody have questions?
Lisa, what role does HR play in all of this? I mean, are there any HR rules or anything that were broken?
City HR?
Yeah.
City HR?
Do they have their own HR department? Because it's an independent agency.
They do.
And so that's where you're speaking that the policies from that HR department.
Let's talk about that. There's nothing that's in here. The HR person said that she was responsible, that was her charge, to come in and update the policies. And she also said she was on the ethics, and she said she's not really doing anything with ethics. She said she never finished the policies. And let me also put it out there, if you haven't read it, she went to the CEO. This problem, she knew about this problem. In 2015, she went to the CEO and told the CEO who the person was that complained against him. Okay, so that doesn't create some kind of hostile or retaliatory environment while you're still working there? I mean, I don't know what would. I mean, I would assume it would. Yeah, there's a serious issue with the HR department. I'm still looking for some resolve with that personally. But they have an HR department, and she testified under oath. She didn't follow her own procedures with regard to the CEO.
Is that HR department still one person today?
No, I think there's a couple people. I don't think there's that many. How many do you know? Maybe three. I'm hoping that the board will look into that piece.
Does the HR department report to the CEO or the board?
Well, the HR reports to the CEO, but when we asked her under oath what she should have, you know, what would you do if you had a complaint? She says, well, I should have gone to the board. I should have gone to, what you see. I think she knew what she should have done. She just didn't do it. So I did ask as one of the recommendations that moving forward that any complaints against her leadership are out of that loop and they come directly to me. JEA has a protocol with us. That's what they've agreed to do. JEA has agreed to do it, and JTA, we're working on agreement. So that if there is a complaint that comes outside of that agency, it's not mishandled or treated in a different manner.
Are employees at JHA subject to employee services rules?
Not necessarily. Only the ones they choose to adopt, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct? Only the ones they choose to adopt, and also, they are bound by the ethics code, even though the CEO didn't even realize it. He didn't know that he was supposed to be, and I thought that was odd that he would. The first time he read the ethics code, he said was right before he came into his interview with us. I thought that was a little odd.
It's a good time. So the pushback we usually get when this is not the first time that we've been asked to look at rules like this. This comes up in context and complaints over time, and the caution, because I don't mean this negatively at all, but the caution we usually get from our advisors at OGC. is we have to be careful in stepping on the employee services lane, and that becomes a bigger and bigger issue as you get to JSO, and then when you get to employees. But I think what we're talking about here are appointed officials of an independent authority, which is at least less of a concern, right?
Yeah, I would have to do some research on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is an independent authority with their own set of HR policy rules, even though you mentioned that they're not existing, we do have an attorney that's assigned to the housing authority, so I'm sure they would have more information as well. Mm-hmm. There's an attorney in OGC that is assigned to the housing authority, so I would certainly like to defer to them.
The only comment, if I might, is that the ethics code applies to the independents. And that's,
yes,
that's why
it does.
Adding something that is not in a policy level would just, I don't think we need, it doesn't need to be super defined, but there is some general, I think even if we said we don't want conduct unbecoming that would discredit the agency or the city, I don't think there's a whole lot. I mean, that's professional etiquette. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it would be great to say this person violated.
It does. You're right. The ethics code does apply to the independent authority.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to, you know.
I know.
With the personnel, yeah, there's a balance.
There's things to think about, but
yeah.
I think we have to start thinking about it.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I don't want to have to come out with another report with a similar
correct
underlying tone that, again,
correct.
I'd like to be able to give the cause to remove the employee if we can.
Right.
Question?
I was just interested, like from UNF's perspective, do you have rules like that? Other organizations that we've worked at, do you have regulations on that?
I get confused about, this is my fourth university and I've had a range of rules. One, it was just absolutely forbidden, you know, and in my case, it's, you know, usually faculty, student relationships that are the subject of most of the attention. And if I remember correctly, it might be UNF that doesn't have anything particularly specific, not as a criticism, but anyways, I've seen everything from absolutely forbidden to you remove yourself in some way or what have you. And odd side note, as some of you know, my wife was appointed or hired in my department the year after I was hired. And needless to say, you know, they kept me as far away from that search as possible because, you know, I just couldn't be involved in it at all. So that sort of concern is certainly taken into consideration as well.
Hmm. I work at Baptist, and we have rules about chain of command and food nepotism. You can't have somebody in your family or significant other in your chain of command. They can report to you, can't be responsible for their evaluation, can't be responsible for their merit increases.
Do you have questions still employed?
As far as I know, I don't know what actions they're going to take, if any. I don't know.
Am I understanding this correctly? Like, this policy on sexual harassment was last updated in 1995, 24 years ago?
Yes, but I do believe that once this started, they went in and did it. However, the activities we were investigating were under this. So yes, that is an accurate statement. I mean, all the core policies that we're looking at were clearly outdated, clearly not even moving forward with the sign of the times. And we've gone up, changed a lot since 1995. What's tolerable, what's not.
Any other questions?
This is love. How in this broad circumstance can the Office of General Counsel be of assistance to an authority that's this far behind the times? Is that a role that OGC does on a proactive basis, or is it more reactive when something comes up?
I think it would be a combination of both proactive and reactive, because there is an attorney assigned to the housing authority, and I'm sure that they are already involved with this. They attend the meetings, the board meetings. There's an assigned attorney that attends those JHH board meetings. So where they are, I don't know, but I can certainly talk with, I think is it Ariel?
Yes,
it's Ariel.
My understanding is they had built a subcommittee to go over the recommendations. Mm-hmm. Because what was unique about this case, when we have a draft report, it goes to the administration or whomever, but in the case of this, I had to meet with each of the board members individually and repeat the story over and over and over, and they were very good about respecting wait until we get it released. It was stellar, but we also met with OGC, so we had with them in there so they can understand their next steps. But my understanding is they have a subcommittee that's developed that meets on the 15th, November 15th. And that they're going to start the process of looking at the recommendations, because all I ask for them is to make sure you're satisfied that the agency has produced a policy that you feel meets mm-hmm. what we've recommended, because they're kind of the only other check and balance, because I can't tell them what to do, but I ask them, they would be interested in it.
Right, and I think that neatly segues and refers to something that I'm thinking about next, which is what follow-up to the JHA do you have in mind, and I guess does OGC have in mind,
mm-hmm.
some kind of integrated process to address...
I can tell you what our plan is. Every 30 days, they're going to be reporting back. I requested copies of everything that they're doing, so it's not done for me until it's done. I mean, my investigation is completed, but there's 13 other things on there.
Right.
Maybe, other areas. And again, if you look down at the last two, I've been to the city council president and I went to the administration saying, well, just like I'm telling you, we need something.
Right.
We need, somebody needs to take the lead, whether you want to put it in the appointed pay plan, city policy, or ordinance, but somebody, one of these bodies has got to put something in. But yes, I'm just going to stay on top of them until they're done.
My last question, if I may, in terms of what this body can do, I don't know if it's appropriate for you to give us some concrete specific suggestions or whether we devise those at legislative committee and coordinate with your office and OGC. I don't know how the process works from here, but in order for us to be responsive to you, if you have anything specific in mind, maybe I'll overlook, of course, I know. I'd like to know about it so we can ask our chairman and see what he wants to do about referring it. Maybe you have an idea of exactly what you would want to write or have the legislative committee write. But
do you have specific suggestions, or are you just thinking there needs to be some form of this in a positive point of officials?
Even if we could put anything in the code that talks about conduct that would not bring discredit on. I mean, one sentence, something that I can say, yeah, there's been a violent, clearly he bought discredit on the agency, or he or she, I don't mean in this situation, it would have been he. But I just feel, if the state has a comprehensive administrative code, why can't we use some of that language that's already been vetted out, and use some of the concepts as strong or as minimal as you need, but just so that people know that there's an expectation of being professional.
Do you know who enforces this state code?
No.
Yeah, which agency?
That's the Florida statute, administrative code for the entire state of Florida for the employees.
But the administrative code usually is a tie to a specific state agency.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
It was just what I found was some language which I was like, oh,
okay.
You know, this would be good if we could use some of these concepts. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's all. I don't know.
It may be the IG at the state level.
This looks like a
Department of State. Okay.
This
All right.
particular one, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just a comment. I think that the head of employee services, Diane Moser, would be interested in that discussion because she's probably dealt with many of these issues, so we could talk with her if the legislative committee takes it up.
Because I think that she has the power to make some changes, or to make the recommendations to the appointed pay plan where it's missing, mm-hmm. because we have language in the civil service and we use that often. But at least I have something.
But mm-hmm. I think that the civil service rules are coordinated by the civil service board.
They are, but I'm just saying in the appointed pay plan, I mean, if that was one of the things that was said to me by the administration. Maybe we can make some changes into that bargaining unit.
Right.
In the situation, I don't know if the independence, it's the same. I mean, to me, this is about what's ethical conduct or not to some level of degree.
Right. Okay.
But I think you should use whatever resource. I'm just saying, I know I need something to hold people accountable.
And just a follow-up comment on that, I don't mind before the legislative committee maybe gets into it to check with Diane Moser on that, on how... if it would be easier just to get it right into the appointed person's pay plan. That may just be a signature from the mayor to get it in there. And it might be really easy to do that instead of going legislatively, because I think we have proof problems if it comes to the ethics commission for an actual offense. Like, you have violated an ethics law, and here's your penalty, and we go through a process like that. What's conduct unbecoming is... like I don't like what you did. We'd be getting 100 complaints a week. I don't think your conduct is becoming, you know, so that's why maybe it's better to go through Employee Services HR first and see if they can address it.
Whatever venue we think is the best. I mean, I think the message just needs to be sent that these types of behavior are not really tolerable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just as a side note on the conduct I'm becoming, it reminded me of my first job. I think it was Article 187 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They had a conduct to bring discredit on the armed forces. And, you know, it's not like it was abused by officers to hammer mouthy enlisted people like I was. But, you know, the specificity, of course, is much better than... Yeah, and I doubt whether that clause is really, I hope that clause hasn't been applied too often simply because there's a finite range of areas that people can get involved in that are clearly wrong, including, you know, extorting sex out of somebody, using your position for that purpose. So, you know, extorting money, so on and so forth. So specificity obviously would be preferable as well.
Mm-hmm. I just think in this situation, clearly is applicable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you don't need a vague conduct on becoming to go after something like that, because I have no doubt that every university I've ever been at has something. So anyways, organizations are able to put that down on paper.
The challenge that I have is being in the IG's office, we have to be neutral, and everything we have to do is based on rules and regulations. I know what my opinion is. I sat in on all 40. I know exactly what my opinion is. I can't. That's what my opinion is. So I'm looking for some level of measure that we can say, you know, this is that's all I'm looking for, some level of measure. Wherever the best appropriate place is, and I know we can't define everything, we can't stop people from having relationships, but we can have them be adult enough about it, say, you know what, let me take myself out of it, and let me step aside, and let me have this person report directly to so-and-so. There's things that can be done. But that's part of the reason we're having trouble with the conflict of interest with the same thing with Lewis Lawrence case. He never stood up and said he had done fishing trips and hunting trips and all these other things while he was overseeing. That's clearly a conflict of interest. And it's not fair to the perception that the other vendors are seeing it. They all know. Everybody knows.
Here's what I think we should do, is refer this to our legislative committee to take a look at it. And I think there's a couple ways, just to give kind of my... These are just thoughts, not directives or anything like that. But I think there are a few ways we could go about this. Even if we decide that this shouldn't be in the ethics code, that doesn't mean it's not an ethics issue that we can't support by resolution or however we can help and urge the council or employee services or the independent authority, the ethics officers at the independent authorities or whomever has authority to do this. In advance of that meeting, Ms. Miller, could you talk with Employee Services and get their view?
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Pollack, could you talk with Jason? And really what I'd like, I'm not asking for a written opinion of any kind, I really just would like his guidance on what is his instinct on where something like this could go. I think a conduct on becoming provision can't work in the ethics code just because we can't adjudicate that. There's no way that... You know, we operate in it. Mm-hmm. We have a complaints committee that operates with 3 members, and 2 of them would decide, would have a majority vote, and could, you know, ruin somebody's career over something that vague. But that doesn't mean there's something we could put in the ethics code that would address something like this that's egregious. Like Dr. Candler just said, a provision that prohibits sexual relationships between people who have reporting obligations or control over pay isn't easy. That's low hanging fruit. There are I hope agreeable limits, but I'd like
I can get with the housing authority attorney in our office and talk with them. Can I get a copy of the language? I didn't
get
a copy. Okay.
But that's I just like Jason's guidance on.
Okay, I'll give it Jason.
What is it that he? Where does this belong, and where should we go?
Okay.
And then that hopefully will help Ms. Gowner and her group figure out what do we need to do? If it's not us proposing legislation, then to whom can we, who can we push?
We have to chair.
Chair.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Any other questions, any comments?
I just wanted, Lisa, what specific language works, because I want to be able to show this. F, okay.
Mm-hmm. F is the minimum, basically, since, you know, we figured that they'll be bringing this credit. And I, you know, clearly I'm not going to be using it willy-nilly. I mean, you know, we all make mistakes, but this clearly was a long-term, long, ongoing thing that clearly rises to conduct unbecoming and brought this credit on the city and the agency in the last week.
No doubt about
that. Okay. And I appreciate the support. I'm just looking for support. I just know that we need it. You know, we need something somewhere, wherever we think it's best.
Did you want all of F? Is it?
I want whatever you think is appropriate. No, I don't want all of F. I want whatever the city is. I mean, you know, in the best scenario, you'd want it all, but you can't. You have to be realistic.
Right. Okay.
We need to talk about fraternization policy within the city, too, when we're talking to her about that. You know, and then I'm talking in the chain of command type of ones, like military stuff.
You can look at G for misconduct.
We saw that too. Yeah.
This is a target rich environment here. She's the military medical.
The other thing too, I think possibly that could be an area where we could do some reinforcement, not necessarily, is Carla, I know that you've been working on your videos and your ethics, but maybe videos related to improper relationships, things like that are coming out of these types of cases, maybe you can throw them in there. It's like, look, you really need to avoid this.
Training.
You know, I mean, training in that area, maybe that's another way to educate people, just to be mindful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just
we can work that in.
Brainstorming.
But you're right, there has to be so the independent authorities are independent, right?
Yep.
So they do need the ability to govern themselves for a lot of things, but that doesn't mean we can't have certain universal truths that we have to figure out how to adopt, and one of those, for example, would be sleeping with a subordinate and then getting them a raise over their subordinate's objection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a clear one, I think.
There
have got to be universal truths, and I think what we need to figure out and will help is where do we need to go for that? Is that done through employee services? Is that something that council needs to do? Is it something we can do? I think we, or at least I, am happy to help. My only concern is that I don't think we can be the enforcement body of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I think what it does is having something in there, it gives the people that have the authority to fire these people that authority, because there's something that says, look, clearly this does rise in my understanding. That's kind of what I was trying to say about in the policies. What's the intent of the policy? And the people that make those decisions, the boards, the mayor's office, all those people can make those decisions, but there's no yardstick to hold anybody up. It's just, so I think, like you said, just whatever. I'm looking for support. I'm looking for somebody to believe in that this is wrong, and then we need to figure out how do we not have this happen again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I appreciate
you.
It.
Really. Thank you, Lisa.
It.
Great job. You absorbed a lot of emotion in that one.
Yes, and I'm sorry if we got that way, but we did. It was tough.
Yeah.
I'm sure you appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you both. All right. Our next item, and I'll try to move quickly through these so we can get Kirby to her birthday dinner. And if you have to leave, of course.
No, that's fine.
So we're on 2020, thinking about strategic planning going forward. And if you turn a couple pages back of your binder past the excerpt of the report and then the news article, there's a thing, a page to summary of Ethics Commission Committee potential work.
Yes.
If you hit the 2019 committee appointments, you've gone one page too far.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much to Kirby and whomever else.
Sandy. It was Sandy's legwork.
Because what I realized talking with Kirby a few days ago is that regularly I was going to say we, but that's really just me. Say, like, we're going to refer things somewhere, and V these are all of the things that are pending at different places.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's anything we need to solve about this today, but what I think would be helpful is in thinking about your committee requests for next year, and the internal ops procedures say that now is the time to be doing that. So in thinking about your committee preferences for next year, look at some of these things and think to yourself about what is an issue that you like or that you think, and it could be one way or another, or strongly feel that we should not touch, which is just as important as thinking we should move forward with it. But this is what's pending, and I think the especially legislative and open government need to meet and decide what year was aspirational and we've accomplished our goal by talking about it, what do we need to actually do, and what can we do, because we can only accomplish so much being here. So I don't think that it's going to be productive to go through this, and so just take this and think about it for now. Between now and in the next, I don't know, 30 days, if you could please email Kirby with your committee preferences for next year. If you could, please rank all four standing committees. You probably saw this year, I will do everything I can not to give you your fourth, and I will try not to give you your third, although sometimes it works out that way. But rank all four committees. Now everybody's had a little bit of time on this commission, so you all know what they're doing. If you request complaints in legislative, you're asking for a lot, right? Those are the two that have the most work. Internal ops and has very little. Open government has some. And indicate what committees you'd like a leadership role in if you do. Everybody there? Thank you. So just in the next 30 days, if you could send that to Kirby, that would be helpful. And then what that will do is in December, I can set those committee appointments so that the committees can meet in January and set their priorities for next year. Hopefully thinking about all of the things that they prospectively have on their plate. Any questions or comments or anything, any discussion about the planning, legislative priorities, committee preferences? I think that the way that this has been structured, I'll tell me if you want it any other way. I just lost the page. But the way this structured this year, I thought worked well, so we can adjust the numbers of these. Legislative was probably too big. But what did you think?
Can you pass the microphone down? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It's obviously a busy committee that we need to get working on some of this stuff, but I do think that the committee was a little big to be having real discussions about getting work done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my goal in putting to pull back the veil, because obviously I can't talk about this unless we're in a public meeting, my goal in putting five people on that committee was that it wouldn't be hard to get three of you, which is a quorum, to be able to meet and accomplish things. But I think because I didn't disclose that, what ended up happening is it was just difficult to get all five people together. But my intent was exactly the opposite, that it would be easy to get three out of five versus two out of three or three out of three. But I think that was, I think I overanalyzed that, and it probably should just be a three-member committee. Complaints committee I thought works well with three, but what do you think?
I'm thinking about the answer to the question. We did fine with three. And aren't there some concerns about having too many if something were to come mm-hmm. for the whole?
So there is a minor concern. So here's, if you haven't studied the complaint procedures recently, anybody who's on the complaints committee is disqualified from the hearing panel that would ultimately hear the matter if it came to us. Now, if you have any experience in administrative law, you know that you practically speaking have to appoint a hearing officer, because getting a quorum of the hearing committee together for a two-week trial would be impossible, and I'm not ready to rule on all the evidentiary objections. So, let him just down to do that, actually. He probably does qualify for that. And so, that is a concern, but it's just practically speaking, we've never gone to a hearing ban. We've never made it in the history of this commission past a probable cause analysis. And even if we did, if you only had three undisqualified members, you could just appoint a hearing officer and do it that way. So it wouldn't, it's not, so if you want more than three people, that's easy.
I would entertain more than three people, depending on the interest of everyone, but having the three of us is working adequately. It's an interesting committee to serve on.
Okay. All right. So committee preferences, internal ops, and open government, legislative, you guys know it all before they do. Anything else in committees? Okay. Holiday dinner. We have scheduled that now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
December 18th?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Is that good with everybody? Did like, five people drop off from that date since our last week?
No. Okay. Almost everybody confirmed.
Okay.
Did we decide what time? I have 5:30. Is that something you sent out?
We've usually done it like 5:30, 5:30 to 6, having some drinks, and then sitting down for dinner like 6, 6:30, and not making it a real long evening. And people can go right from work, have a drink or two, have a nice dinner, and be home fairly early.
Yeah.
We're not a wild bunch.
It's a friendly one, though.
It's a friendly one, but not wild late night. Mm. Although some people have been known to stay late.
Yes.
And are you in that group?
Yes.
So for those of you that are wild party people, Kirby stays later and closes the restaurant down.
That was just 1 year with James Young. It was
yeah, 1 year.
A long
okay.
Time ago.
We'll go with that.
All right. Can we schedule our January meeting?
Yes, please.
Do you have your class in?
I do.
You know?
Okay.
Will you just let us know if it doesn't work?
Yeah, Mondays definitely are good for me because I've got other faculty who need Mondays, and so I never get Monday classes.
Okay. January
13th? Yeah.
It was easy so far.
I'm on vacation.
Again?
Congratulations.
Thank you. I earned it. I work so hard, I'm sick. You see this?
You don't sound good.
Although I will say on this last vacation, I won a new cruise.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Yeah. Are there other days that typically work, or is it the rest of it just
yeah, take a fun.
Okay.
Wednesday the 15th, it's my birthday. We can have more cupcakes. Yeah. Capricorn.
So I thought that was sarcastic. But
no, I think
Marla
she's serious.
I'm excited about having that. This
meeting over. No, I'm not excited. No, I take it all back. We could save the same cupcakes we've got.
Well, you're not saving the same cupcakes.
What about, we won't do that to you. What about any other, how long are you out?
Oh, wait, I'm out from the 11th through the 20th.
Okay, about 20 seconds?
How did I do it? That's funny math.
Anybody not available on 22nd?
Okay.
Okay. Is this time, why do we meet at 5? Was there somebody who this is harder to go earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is for me now, too, because I have to come from Clay County.
Okay. Thank you for traveling in.
It's a nice field trip. You're welcome.
All right. And then in January, we'll schedule off somewhere.
So, 22nd at 5 is what we're...
22nd at 5?
If there are new assignments by then, and if there is a need, we could still potentially schedule a meeting for a particular committee meeting. On this.
Yeah, well, complaints will almost certainly have to meet between now and then.
They have
been studiously continuing.
Yeah,
the charge of prompt administration of justice.
Okay,
good. Thing?
Yes. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Yeah.
Another quote from Julius Caesar.
I don't see a lot of promptness in other areas of our justice system.
Well, you don't defend people before our ethics.
True.
You'd be very
swift. Yes.
All right. Please do get me those committee assignments or send them to Kirby. your committee preferences, rank all four, tell me which one you'd like to be in leadership. We've got our scheduling done. I doubt I'm going to have any public comment.
Yeah, but it's
so
awkward. Comrade? Where's Comrade?
On vacation.
I have no other announcements. Anybody have anything else before we close? Thank you all for being here. This is our last substantive meeting of the year. This has been great. I've loved this year. We've accomplished a lot. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for being chair.
We'll see you in December.
Yep.
We're done.
Put that in my calendar.